Mary Martin is a factory worker with a BA in political science from Georgia State University. She enjoys studying working class history and fishing. She's married to Edwin Fruit, who's a candidate for city council. She is running for mayor. She's run for mayor in the past as a write-in candidate and also for governor of Washington State. She represents the Socialist Workers Party. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
The Department of Justice has a consent agreement with the city of Seattle to take steps to curtail the unconstitutional use of excessive force by the Seattle Police Department. A federal judge is monitoring this process. What do you think the steps that the city has taken to fix this problem?
Well, first of all, I think the DOG probe was a response to the many protests that working people carried out in response to the police killing of John T. Williams, and also to incidents like the stomping of Latino youth on the sidewalk and countless other incidents of police violence against working people, stopping people, African-American, Somali youth, immigrant workers. And what I say about this is that there's no probe, no sensitivity training, no placement of cameras that will solve this problem. It has to do with what the nature of the police are under capitalism, which is, number one, to protect private property and the interests of the wealthy business owners, the capitalist class, and also to keep the working class in line. And one place you can see this is on a picket line, where it's very clearly demarcated. Cops that come there are not to support the union. They're there to defend the company's interest.
So it sounds like you think these measures are kind of off to the side and don't address the real problem with police.
Yeah. None of them address the class question involved.
There are plans for coal terminals in several places in Washington State. The incumbent, Mayor Mike McGinn, has come out against them. They're going to have to take this coal that's going on trains from Wyoming bound for China. It would be put onto boats here in Washington State. And as you probably know, many environmentalists oppose these new coal terminals. Some unions and workers say they're in favor. They see this as an option for jobs. What do you say?
Well, socialists are for the expansion of productive forces in the world. We're in favor of coal going to China, of workers being able to have electricity, of workers being able to have electricity in Africa. Because once the sun goes down, productive life, the ability to study, the ability to have surgery in the middle of the night, the ability to produce goods that working people need all stops. On the other hand, this is a question of workers not having control. All these environmental questions, it's because the working class is not in control. You know, covers can be put on the trains. Sprayers can be used in the coal piles. There are measures that can be taken, but these measures cost money, and the capitalist class isn't interested in spending any money to protect our health. So it's not an environmental question. It's a class question. And if workers ran the government, these are things we could address.
And I want to get to how you see that happening. But a couple of the other issues that are kind of top of mind. If you just joined us, I'm talking to Mary Martin. She's one of the candidates for the mayor of Seattle. The primary is going to be on August 6th. Recently, the mayor and city council voted to shut down the homeless camp known as Nicholsville, and they want to try to find housing for the residents and disperse that homeless camp. What do you think about that decision?
Well, I think that we should release the housing stock to make housing available in the short term. You know, houses that are kept off the market, apartment buildings, hotels, to immediately address this. But this, like every other question we're talking about, is a class question. Under capitalism, housing is a commodity. It's not built to house human beings because there's a human need. It's built to make money for developers, for landlords. And this can only be addressed through a fight organized by working people. You know, I like to explain the example. And after the Cuban Revolution, they passed a law that, by law, rents could be no more than 10% of your income. So this isn't a perfect solution. There's housing shortages in Cuba. They're working on this. But imagine what your life would be like if this large component of your income were settled by the fact that you didn't have to pay more than 10%. And I'm for airy, safe housing with heat and air conditioning and views. You know, I don't think that forcing people into camps with all kinds of health issues, you know, is a solution. I believe the reason why some people choose that over shelters or other options is because they just want to not be harassed. They want to be left alone. But I think most people would choose brick and mortar over being exposed to the elements. I had a coworker, this is part of the working poor, who lived in Nicholsville because he didn't have enough money for down payments and utilities and all that, but he had enough to feed himself and try to save up for that time when he could. He explained that you have to go very early in the morning to get a ticket to get into the shelter that night. And you can't get into the shelter, not all of them, but the one he was familiar with, till 11 o'clock at night. So that works against your being able to work, to hold a job. If you're standing in line for a place to stay that night when you should be on the way to work, and you can't get in and get clean and get rested till close to midnight.
Mary Martin, mayoral candidate, I'm picking up a theme from you, and I like to just go directly to that theme. You are representing the Socialist Workers' Party, which advocates the goal of working people taking political power out of the hands of the capitalist class. How do you define working people?
Okay, so the working people are those that are not born into wealth, that we have nothing to sell but our labor power, and it's the working class, whether or not we're working right now. As you may know, only 47% of adults in the United States today have full-time jobs, working-age adults. This is a crisis for the working class. It has to do with our ability to act in our own interests, to have the confidence and the unity. It's very important to be able to stand on your own feet. So our number one demand is for a massive jobs program to put millions of people to work at union-scale wages with union control over safety. This has to be fought for. It's not something you sign.
A massive jobs program would come from the federal government. You're running for the office of the mayor of Seattle. How do you think you could accomplish that at the federal level? And we know there's a lot of issues getting anything done at the federal level right now as mayor of Seattle.
There are no Seattle solutions, and we don't limit our campaign to Seattle because what's happening here is happening in Kent, it's happening in Bellevue, and more important, it's happening throughout the world. The only solutions to any of these problems, the only way we've ever made any progress historically as a class, whether it's women's rights, whether it's civil rights, is to fight, to organize and fight. And even then, the gains are not permanent. They constantly are chipped away at by the ruling class and the government that serves it.
How does the Socialist Worker Party get that kind of leverage to influence the national government?
Well, we're not running to administer the cuts. We're not running to try to influence the national government. We're running to organize and unify the working class to take political power in this country through a successful revolution. However, we're not on the eve of a revolution. We're not in a pre-revolutionary period. But along the way, we can make very important gains, like the Black liberation struggle, like the battle for women's equality and abortion rights, like voting legislation, like gay marriage. But these are things which are not permanent under capitalism.
So these are the interim steps, and the goal is a worker-run society. And in the middle, you see a revolution. Could you explain what that middle part is?
Well, it's not possible to shame the capitalist class out of power. It's not possible to expose their secrets out of power. The only way that workers can take power is actually to remove the capitalist class. They're not going to go voluntarily. You know, we point to the example of the Cuban Revolution. It will be different in this country, but the Cuban Revolution stands as an example that it is possible to organize society based on human needs, not based on profits, which is what the capitalist system the United States, along with all its allies around the world, is based on profit, won through exploiting the working class.
Worker-run societies were what we heard from the Soviet Union and what we heard from China, two societies that have gone through a lot of changes since then. What do we learn from how they did a worker-run society about how we would want to do it here?
Well, one thing that we explain is you know, there was a counter-revolutionary movement in the Soviet Union, and what this led to was the killing of a lot of people that made the revolution and setting up of what Che Guevara called a system worse than socialism, where the working class was left out of the government, the Stalinism, if you will. But even Stalin and his predecessors, I mean, and his successors, could not remove the social gains of having overturned capitalism. So with the fall of the Soviet Union, I know that the Socialist Workers' Party explained this is a cause for celebration for workers when they were tearing down statues of Lenin, because finally workers have a chance to find out for themselves the road to socialism and what it is based on the working class being in power, not a tiny caste accruing all the privileges to themselves under Stalin.
You'd probably concede that you're an outsider candidate in the sense that your chances might not be great at getting to the final two in August. Would you agree with that?
Well, we're running a serious campaign.
Absolutely.
And I would say that our ideas are the most practical for what the working class is facing, and that none of the other candidates address this. They accept the framework that the bondholders come first, even though many of them are opposed to the worst excesses of capitalism. But they accept this framework that we have to administer the cuts. We're not for administering this budget. We're for organizing the working class to fight for what is in our interest. Everything that I'm talking about is a fight, whether it's opposing police brutality, fighting for veterans' benefits. I have many veterans who come up to me like at the Juneteenth celebration at Pratt Park and said, you know, do you know about the suicide rate? Do you know that veterans give up on having to fight the administration that's supposed to be providing medicine and medical care for them? They can't take it anymore. About the increasing homelessness rate among African American veterans. These are issues that have to be addressed, and they can only be addressed through a fight, because starting with, you know, the Seattle business community, the Seattle bondholders, the Seattle City Council as it is not going to advance the interests of the working people.
What will be your measure of success in this upcoming primary election? How will you say, I mean, I suppose it's partly successful already. We're talking about these issues that are dear to you. The audience will hear it. But beyond that, beyond having the forum to express yourself, what's going to make you say on August 10th, I did what I wanted to do in this race?
Well, our campaign has been based in the working class. The heart of our campaign is not the mayoral debates, although we participate in some of them. The heart of our campaign is going door to door in working class communities, and we have done this. Knocking on thousands of doors, talking to workers about what do they think. And you'd be surprised the response you get. Wait a minute, you're a candidate for mayor and you're asking me what I think? This has never happened to me in my life. And then they tell you about the fact that they've been out of work for 2 years, or if they're not out of work, how they're working a full-time job and a part-time job because no one else in their family is working. They talk about their relatives who've been evicted from their homes. This is what the working class faces. But the working class is not broken. The working class is fighting, like the workers at Belshaw Automatic in Auburn, who have been on strike now for 3 months, like the workers who are locked out of the grain terminals in Vancouver and Portland. And we go to those picket lines, but the heart of our campaign is door to door, and we've reached thousands of workers.
Will you get thousands of votes? Would you hazard a guess as to what percent of the final vote you might get in this primary election that might validate the fact that you say your message is resonating with many of the people you've spoken to?
No, because many of the people who support us can't vote, either because they don't have papers or because of felony convictions, their right to vote has been taken away. All we promise is a fight. And the other thing you'd be interested to know is after the election campaign, we do exactly the same thing we were doing before, championing the case of the Cuban five political prisoners who are framed up for defending the Cuban Revolution, championing the right of woman to have an abortion without any restrictions, calling for decriminalizing the status of undocumented workers, and calling for a massive public jobs program, and standing with workers who fight anywhere.
Mary Martin, candidate for mayor of Seattle. Thank you so much for joining us today. I appreciate you taking the time.
Thank you.
I'm Ross Reynolds. This is KUOW Seattle.